Hey, everybody, here on the Charlie Kirk Show. Alex Marlow joins the program, and EJ Antoni, also Royce White, who is running for Senate in Minnesota. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. To become a member, it's members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Joining us now is Royce White, who is running for Senate in Minnesota. Royce, welcome to the program. Tell us, what is the latest? When is Election Day? What's going on?
Election day is today. We got a primary here in Minnesota, a contentious primary for myself, also a controversial one down there in CD5 with Ilhan Omar. And over the last couple of days, I've encouraged Minneapolis residents, people who are in Ilhan's congressional district, to cross over and vote for her primary opponent, who only lost by 2,000 votes in the 2022 midterm, and cast their vote for Don Samuels. Now, if you're down in CD5, please do not circle my name and Don Samuels' name on the ballot, which you would be able to do. Hopefully your polling person will tell you not to, but that would make your ballot invalid. They would throw it out. And the rest of the state, obviously vote for myself, for United States Senate. And we're confident. We're confident about today. A huge win for MAGA coming.
So Tim Walz is the vice presidential nominee for the Democrat Party. What should we know about him coming from your home state?
Well, I mean, you know, the obvious, the things that people have covered over the last couple of weeks, the tampons in the boys' bathroom, the situation after George Floyd in 2020. But the most important things, I think, are some that are going to remain, you know, relatively hidden or less talked about. Having an $18 billion surplus, $18 billion surplus in the state and not giving a single penny back to the working class citizens is communism. And that's who Walz is. And that's what this ticket is going to be. They're going to take your money and they won't give a single penny back, even when they're ahead. And the other thing that I think people need to be aware of, especially in the black community, because Minnesota, again, is going to become ground zero for a racial narrative that the Democrats are going to serve the interests of black people and minorities. But the truth about Minnesota, we have one of the worst racial disparity gaps in our education system for the entire country. Our greater Minnesota public education system, although Marxist to boot, is considered one of the highest rated and best in the entire country. In the inner cities, in Minneapolis and in St. Paul, we have the second worst proficiency rating in the entire country. So one of the worst racial disparity gaps in our education. That's who Governor Tim Walz has been, and that's who the Democrats will be for black people and minorities in this country.
Inflation and rising prices is crushing black America. Kamala Harris is to blame.
Yes.
You guys can't afford groceries because of Kamala Harris. Let's play this tape. I want your reaction to it. Play cut 64.
How hard has inflation hit you?
It hit me hard. It's hitting me hard.
Who do you blame for it?
I blame the federal government at this point. If a working class mom who works as a paralegal cannot buy a $2 bell pepper because it's now $5, imagine a mother living on food stamps. Mm. Imagine a mother who's making minimum wage trying to feed children. Mm. They're killing us without killing us. If you understand that, they're killing us without telling us they're killing us. They're hurting people in ways that they can't help themselves. It's either feed my child or how about feed my children? And I don't, but I have to go work.
Royce, thoughts on that clip?
Well, you know, I don't like to pat myself on the back because there's nothing really glorious about being right when something is so wrong. But this is exactly why I led people to the Federal Reserve, the Minneapolis Federal Reserve after George Floyd died. Don't focus on policing. Your problems aren't down at the first police precinct. Your problems are monetary policy, economic policy, and inflation, which is a byproduct of government policies, not organic, no matter what these economic elites and experts try and tell you. So, yeah, inflation is crushing us all, this entire country. But Black people may be first and foremost. And now they get a chance to vote for a candidate like myself and also Donald Trump, who understands those hardships. So we're confident in this entire election cycle.
Royce White, I know your primary is today. Everyone in Minnesota, get out to the polls. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. God bless.
Joining us now is EJ Antoni from the Heritage Foundation. EJ, welcome to the program. EJ, tell us, we are spending $1.2 trillion a year servicing the debt. Does anyone in Washington, D.C. seem to care?
Charlie, I can count on one hand the number of people, honestly, who seem to give a rip about this. I mean, this is getting to be, frankly, catastrophic. To put this in perspective, we are spending more just to service the debt, not pay it down, just pay the interest we're talking about here. That's costing more than all military spending, than the entire defense budget. This is becoming a national security issue. We are at a point where, you know, more than a quarter of all tax revenue is being consumed just by interest payments. I mean, at what point do we have to say, all right, the government can't afford ships, planes, artillery shells, et cetera. The government can't afford to pave roads, to build bridges, whatever the case may be, fund Social Security. We can't afford any of this stuff anymore because we are simply just being consumed by debt payments.
So you write here, the fiscal year net interest on the debt has eclipsed all other spending functions except Social Security. We've been warning about this. I've been warning about it for 12 years. No one in D.C. seems to have any sort of concern or care. So EJ, in order to fix this, it would require massive spending cuts and or tax increases or just an acknowledgement that we are now in a new era of hyperinflation. We will easily exceed $36 trillion of debt this year. We're on pace for $1.5 trillion in interest on the national debt in the next 12 months. 30% of all government revenues go to interest payments. Is there going to be an economic collapse because of this?
Well, Charlie, we are fast approaching that. I mean, I think we still have time. I genuinely do. To avert another Great Depression kind of catastrophe here. The problem is that time is running out and pretty darn quick. I mean, all of the stats that you just cited, they're true and they should scare people. They should be scaring citizens. They should be scaring the politicians as well who have created this mess. I mean, again, for some perspective here as to just how bad the situation is, we are very quickly approaching the point where the government is not even going to be able to afford things like sending out Social Security checks because we are being so consumed by these interest payments. And I'm so glad that you brought up inflation because people need to remember all government spending is paid for. It may be paid for through explicit taxes like the federal income tax, but it can also be paid for through the hidden tax of inflation. Why has inflation been so bad the last several years? Because it is how the government has chosen to pay for trillions of dollars it didn't have in all of these bloated spending bills and budgets over the last 4 years. And if we continue down this path, that's probably what we're going to continue to see, more inflation. The problem with trying to get more tax revenue today is the simple fact that no matter how high you put tax rates, people will change their behavior in such regimes. And as a result, you really don't get much more tax revenue than what we're seeing today, at least in terms of a percentage of the economy.
And so we know what causes inflation, which is government spending. The government should not have done, we shouldn't have done any of these spending bills whatsoever. What is a remotely conceivable way out of this?
I think it has to be cutting spending, Charlie. That's really the only conceivable path here. We have to get spending down. And that needs to probably be a combination of not only actually reducing the money going out the door, but also increasing how much is coming in. In other words, we have to get back to robust economic growth. It's just going to be too painful, frankly, to pay off all of this debt and to pay for all this spending, given how big the pie is today. We need to grow that pie. How do you do that? Well, frankly, President Trump gave us a pretty good roadmap for doing that. You do it through tax reform and you do it through regulatory reform. One of the things that's not counted in these inflation metrics like the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, which we'll get the July reading tomorrow. But what's not included in there are regulatory costs. This is one of the reasons why the price of an automobile for literally a quarter of a decade didn't budge according to the CPI, even though if you look at actual sale prices for vehicles, they were going through the roof. Why? Because all of those additional costs were from regulatory increases, regulatory burdens, pushing up prices. Things like new emission standards, for example, or other kinds of safety standards, whatever the case may be. So under the Biden administration, those regulatory costs have added up to about $5,000 per year per household. Under the Trump administration, those regulatory costs actually went down by $2,000 per year per household. So I think that gives some, you know, additional context and perspective here as to why people felt so much better under the Trump economy than they do under the Biden economy.
Are you ready to lose weight but not sure where to start? I understand. I was right where you are 2 years ago. Let me tell you why I chose the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Program. First, Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition. There is so much more. They know that 90% of permanent change comes from the mind, and they work on eliminating the reason you gain this weight in the first place. There's no shortcuts, pills, or injections, just solid, science-based nutrition and behavior change. And finally, most importantly, I lost 30 pounds. Look, they're amazing. If you want to lose weight, you got to go to myphdweightloss.com. I was just texting with Dr. Ashley Lucas today. If you're ready to lose weight for the last time, call 864-644-1900. Go online at myphdweightloss.com. Do what I did and what hundreds of my listeners have done and call today, 864-644-1900. I recommend their program. Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition, but it's so much more. Go to myphdweightloss.com, myphdweightloss.com. Call 864-644-1900. I lost over 30 pounds. Dr. Ashley Lucas, great American. Check it out, myphdweightloss.com. So if we don't cut spending, which is likely going to be the case because D.C. does not like cutting spending at all, then what does that look like?
More inflation, Charlie. There's just no way out of this, unfortunately, that's not going to be painful. You know, we've made a lot of public policy mistakes over the last several years, some of which we have had to pay for up front. Don't get me wrong. We've already felt some of the tax increases, some of the regulatory increases. We've already felt most obviously the inflationary pressure. However, there is still a lot of government spending that has not yet been paid for, and that's going to have to be paid for one way or another. So again, you can either cut out other spending to compensate for it, or you can have a lot more inflation, but those are really your only options at this point.
I mean, some people are recommending a government efficiency committee, but we're talking about massive sums of money here, right? We're not talking about a couple billion here, a couple billion there. We need to cut at least a couple $1 trillion in spending. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. And frankly, to get towards a path of sustainability, you probably even need to cut more than that. But just in order to stem the bleeding, in other words, to get us out of crisis mode, which frankly is where we are today, regardless of whether or not people are willing to admit it, just to get us out of the state of crisis, we need to cut a couple trillion off of this budget.
Yeah. And I mean, most people think waste, fraud and abuse is just like a line item in the budget. We need to come up with at least $1 trillion in potential spending cuts. And again, you have the warfare welfare coalition where the warmongers in the Republican Party don't want to touch the defense budget, and the welfare mongers in the Democrat Party do not want to touch the kind of social services budget. What has been the primary driver of our spending increases the last couple of years?
Well, the last couple of years, it has definitely been the discretionary spending. It's been things like the crazy green energy boondoggles, right? The things that have cost multi-trillion dollars here we're talking about. Now, have we wasted a ton of money on, you know, overseas conflicts? Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We have a bloated defense budget that is also filled with waste, fraud, and abuse. However, over the last several years, the biggest driver that we've seen recently, again, has been the crazy domestic projects, all of these left-wing boondoggles and rabbit holes that we've gone down. However, going forward, we are quickly approaching a point where things like Social Security and Medicaid are going to absolutely explode. Don't get me wrong, they're already rising fast, Charlie, but they are going to genuinely explode as we have a lot more Americans retire and we don't have enough young Americans being born to replace them in the workforce. So you're going to simultaneously see revenue coming down and expenses from the government going up. So that's where you'll really run into an even bigger problem if you continue all of the crazy runaway spending that we see today. Again, it doesn't matter if it's the runaway spending on the defense side or these insane domestic programs, whatever the case may be. We need to understand that we are going into a situation that already has a lot of financial headwinds. And it's all the more reason why we need to get the budget in order now.
Our leaders, the people who were in charge of society, primarily people that have served in politics for many years, like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, they made a deliberate series of choices to ruin the country and to defecate on the economy and hand it down to future generations. It's going to require trillions of dollars of spending cuts, but in D.C., we can't get House Republicans to do a couple billion dollars in spending cuts. E.J. Antoni, thank you so much.
Charlie, thank you for having me.
I remember last year I was talking to a good friend of mine, and he's like, boy, D.C.'s really got to cut spending. I'm anticipating in this year, 2024, we're going to have spending cuts. I said, why do you think D.C. will ever cut spending? Can you give me one example since George W. Bush, who was one of the worst presidents in American history, where we have cut any spending, like actually materially cut spending? D.C. only knows how to grow. Take more of your money, borrow more from your grandkids, grow, grow, grow. Joining us now is Alex Marlow. He is the man behind Breitbart.com. Does a great job. Alex, welcome back to the program.
Charlie, it's always a blast to be on with you. Thanks for having me, and kind of a historic occasion. It was a great night last night.
Yeah. What is your reaction to that? I know you've been a Musk skeptic in the past. What happened last night?
I thought last night was absolutely terrific. I thought it was really terrific for Elon Musk, and I'm happy to defend my Musk skepticism later on, Charlie, if you would like. But I thought him sticking his neck out there and sort of cementing his conversion from de facto liberal to card-carrying member of Team Trump, Team MAGA, is pretty unbelievable to watch. It was very classy. It was very bold. And our COO, John, made an interesting point today to me. He doesn't have to do this. He can do whatever he wants with his life. He's a businessman. He's got all the money in the world. He's got lots of cool friends. He does not need to be sticking his neck out there for Donald Trump. He'll do fine no matter who's president in his businesses. But he decided to take this step out of what appears to be principle, which is just so awesome. That's what we're all about. So I doff my cap to him. I also thought the president was in good form. So it was a great night.
Yeah. So why do you think the media is reacting the way they are to this?
Well, first of all, they're all in. They're deeply invested in seeing Kamala Harris win. And they're the best way to advance that narrative today is to tell people they don't have to watch this. Because anyone who watched this would have seen two genuine, charismatic people speaking from authority on their areas of expertise in a conversational, long-form way that Kamala Harris could never do in a million years if she had a million opportunities. And that is contagious. If people watch that, they're going to be drawn to both of these guys. Being drawn to Musk, who is the only platform that's sort of favorable towards our viewpoint, Charlie, and Donald Trump, who's running for president, they can't allow for that. So they have to act as though this was some sort of a disaster, specifically because it was the opposite.
So the conversation was unique in many ways. It was very long in a good way. But the media's ferocity here, let's play Cut 65. It's a Washington Post journalist asking the White House, can they just shut this down? That's how you know last night was so powerful. This is a journalist for the Washington Post. This guy should be fired and should just be ridiculed for this, saying, can you guys shut this down, please? Federal government, play Cut 65.
Misinformation on Twitter is not just a campaign issue. It's a, you know, it's an America issue. What role does the White House or the president have in sort of stopping that or stopping the spread of that or sort of intervening in that? Some of that was about campaign misinformation, but, you know, it's a wider thing, right?
Yeah, no, and you've heard us talk about this many times from here about the responsibilities that social media platforms have when it comes to misinformation, disinformation. Don't have anything to read out from here about specific ways that we're working on it, but we believe that they have the responsibility.
You got two DEI hires talking back and forth there.
Oh, unbelievable. It's just you would like to think, Charlie, at this point, I'm very optimistic about this, that the American public get it. They get how pathetic this is, that the First Amendment kind of rules. And not just literally speaking, but figuratively, it's nice to have a First Amendment. And it's one of the great advantages this country has. And to be told you're not supposed to flex it when you're the richest person in the world with a social media platform and the most powerful man in the world who is running for president, of course they're going to take advantage of that. And to act like that's some sort of an outrage and the government should shut it down, I would like to think open-minded voters see through this and see it as offensive. It's deeply offensive. Charlie, one thing I would have liked to have seen yesterday was I would have liked to have seen those guys throw down harder on the EU. The EU suggesting that this should be censored. The two powerful men who've earned everything in their life, for them not to be able to speak their minds, that's something that the EU should be able to step in and regulate, should offend every American. And yes, it's one of those things where I would have liked to have seen a much bigger throwdown there.
Well, yeah, I was waiting for Donald Trump. I think he missed a little bit of an opportunity here. By the way, I was talking to him this morning about it. I thought it was terrific. I would have liked him to say, you know what, Elon, they do that 50% tariff on all German goods coming into America.
Boom.
Right. That would have been the headline.
Get it.
Like, hey, Germany, you're going to saber rattle through the EU, which is obviously just Germany. Right. I mean, there is no EU. It's just Germany. Like, OK, good luck getting a Mercedes-Benz in Denver if you do this. Boom.
And I'll tell you, when you spend time with Trump, one of his favorite stories is how he threatened Emmanuel Macron with tariffs on wine. And he does this incredible Macron impression. It's one of the most unbelievable things just to witness it in the room. Everyone is
With the wine. Oh, the wine
time.
Thing.
Yeah, with the wine.
You want your wine?
Do it again. Do it here.
100% tariff on wine. By the way, just so everyone is clear, the tariff power is uniquely unilateral for the president. It's one of the few things that the Congress has just given to the president. And it's national security reasons. So you can get so much done for the betterment of your country and for the betterment of civilization just on the threat of tariffs. To give you an idea, if Kamala Harris were to come out, which she never would, or Joe Biden right now and said, hey, Mexico, 20% tariff on everything coming in, there would not be a single illegal that would come into this country. They would secure the border for us. People say, how do you secure the border? Yeah. You say that we put a 20% tariff on anything coming from Mexico. They will mobilize every single police member and military member, and the border would be the most secure in history.
That's exactly right. And it's such a powerful tool. And I think Trump would use it, and hopefully he hears this conversation or someone else brings up the same thing. And then maybe he can, there's no expiration date on this. He can bring this up at any point. I do wish he would have brought it up yesterday, though, because it seems like a no-brainer when he's getting threatened by these people who have no autonomy over you or me or your audience or my audience, Charlie.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Did you know that 80% of adults take supplements to feel our best, right? Well, one thing your dog can't do without you is improve their diet or health to feel their best. That is why I believe Rough Greens could dramatically help your best friend by adding what is missing to their diet like you do. Rough Greens is helping thousands and thousands of dogs feel better and live longer, including my dog, Mr. Briggs, who loves it. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, who created Rough Greens, is also an airborne ranger and Green Beret, an amazing background. He loves dogs and is on a mission to help as many as he can. Dog food is dead, and Rough Greens supplements your dog's food with existing vitamins and minerals, omega oils, digestive enzymes, probiotics, and antioxidants. Dr. Black is offering you a free Jumpstart trial bag. So fetch your free Jumpstart trial bag. Just cover shipping. Don't change your dog's food. Just go to roughgreens.com/Kirk, RUFFgreens.com/Kirk. So the state of the race here, people are a little confused. I want to just kind of give people just a little bit of hope. Today there was a poll done by USA Today, and USA Today is very, very liberal, as you saw by this lunatic article that they wrote about Donald Trump. It was unbelievable. Can we get that headline again? I read it once, where it shows Donald Trump up 5 in Florida, which is far more than his 2020 victory margin, and they oversampled Democrats. Last poll showed him up 7 in Florida, so he's doing very well. Your book, Alex, is breaking Biden. Biden is broken.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I say this not, you know, as a gotcha or anything, but I want to get your thought process. I was agreeing with you. I thought Biden was going to stay. He didn't. You know Biden better than anybody else. Help us analyze and unpack the now state of the race.
Yeah, it was really fascinating to watch the decline, because Biden's motivated by three things. One, he does want to be president. Number two is legacy, and number three is money. And it became clear that his legacy was going to be that he was going to be a catastrophic loser if he continued with the race. After that debate, I was hopeful, Charlie, that he was going to stick with it. But in retrospect, it was pretty obvious that he was going to lose. He was going to lose big, and he was going to drag the rest of his ticket down with him. And when everyone's calling for him to step down, then it's all on him. So his legacy was, it was over. His only chance to save face was to say, get me a bag of cash and I will politely stand aside. Now, what does that bag look like? I don't know yet, but we're going to find out. There's going to be a lot of Bidens in cushy jobs and a lot of Biden foundations that are loaded up with funds once he's out of there. We're going to see it. And just remember this conversation when it happens, because it's going to. So now you got Kamala. And Kamala is a better candidate than Joe Biden, only in the sense that Joe Biden was the worst candidate in, not just in my lifetime, it had to have been maybe the history of the country, certainly in the last 100 years. As far back as I know history, he was the worst candidate for a major party. So her being at the top of the ticket is an improvement for them. But the media is going to have to try to extend this honeymoon phase all the way to the election, which, Charlie, you know this better than anyone. Early voting starts in like a few weeks, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're really closing in on it.
Yeah, it's like 22 days.
Unbelievable. So that's what they have to do, because her record is thin and it's bad. Her flip-flops are egregious. She's not a charismatic person. She's not a particularly bright person. She's not fleet of foot. She doesn't speak well. So they have to treat her, and this is why the chapter of my book on Kamala is called The Idea of Kamala Harris. They have to create this sort of AI, a user-generated version of her that's not real life. Real life Kamala Harris is deeply unimpressive, but beloved by the donors, which matters a lot in modern politics. That's how political parties work. The donors call a lot of the shots. But she has almost nothing to offer the American public, and it's on us to break through the media and to show the people that's the case.
The media is the worst I've ever seen them. This is the USA Today news headline. Trump rambles, slurs his way through Elon Musk interview. It was an unmitigated disaster. For a fascism-curious billionaire who loves cuddling up to right-wing loons, Elon Musk sure is good at making right-wing politicians look stupid. I mean, this is rage posting on Reddit at this point, Alex.
Yeah, that's like it's like a reply guy. I can't believe USA Today is posting this stuff,
as a news article.
That's why they... Yeah. And this is why they had massive layoffs. The media is broken. We broke the news too, Charlie. We didn't just break Biden. We broke the news. So it's the news business, the layoff after one after the next. And this is why. It's such a joke. They're so desperate to make sure no one actually watches the interview. Because if they watch the interview, they're going to see that Musk seems like he's totally with it. He only really opined on areas where he's an expert, like energy, which was totally fascinating. Just if you are podcast aficionados, just great to hear him talk about oil and green energy and how he doesn't hate the oil industry. He praises it, but he thinks the future is solar, and he explains why. It's all fascinating to listen to. And then Trump's talking points were on point. Him busting Tim Walz for the tampons, him busting Biden and Harris for the Ukraine war. I mean, these are dynamite talking points that the public is unaware of. Him pointing out that more people died from coronavirus under Biden than Trump. If people watch the interview, they're going to hear this stuff and they're going to like Trump and Musk more. So he's desperately saying, do not watch, by all means, do anything but watch this interview.
Let's play cut 54.
Her running mate approved, signed into legislation, tampons in boys' bathrooms, okay? Now, that's all I have to hear. Tampons in boys' bathrooms. And that means she believes in that, too. I mean, she picked this guy because he was the closest to her. A lot of people thought she'd pick sort of the opposite, but she picked an anti-Israel, radical left person. But she is far worse.
So, Alex, some creative ideas. I would love to get your thoughts. If you were advising the Trump campaign, what creative ideas would you give him? Things that you think are missing, no-brainer ideas to help increase the margin and to win this election.
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, it's your message, and credit to you guys at TPUSA and TP Action. It is rounding up every single vote, not taking a single vote for granted. And I think that that's the number one thing. And I do think Trump gets that. But in terms of something flashier, more creative, then I would send J.D. Vance out to the factories. Wherever there's an empty factory, J.D. Vance should be there, touch every single one. And I think Trump should go to all the energy areas that are not being touched. I'm thinking Pennsylvania, fracking, et cetera. He needs to get out there and he needs to get on location, some of these places, and talk about how his entrepreneurship and his CEO mentality and the type of people he could bring in. I mean, Musk talking about how he wants to be a part of some sort of government efficiency board. I mean, that's hot stuff. Go talk about the plan to bring back some jobs, to create some new industry in America on location. Do it there. And then you get all your greatest hits in, your talking points, and then razz Kamala for not doing any interviews. Those would be the moves I do right now.
The appointment of Tim Walz as the VP, what does that tell you as a reporter and as someone who's been in this space for a while? What is the campaign, the Kamala campaign, trying to tell us about their strategy based on the appointment of Tim Walz and the passing up of Josh Shapiro, who is obviously more charismatic, obviously would have been a better strategic play for Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I think that this is one of the most fascinating questions in the last week or two. And the answer with my analyst hat on is that I think that the Democrats are more concerned that their base voters are not going to show up to the election. And I think that if you put a Josh Shapiro on the ticket, a guy who the donors would probably like better and is seen as more of a moderate, he's not a moderate, but he's seen and can be branded that way from an energy state. And then all of a sudden you're catering to Democrats who might still like fracking, Democrats who might still like Israel. I think they're more concerned about the pro-Hamas squad wing of the party. I mean, you saw Jamal Bowman going crazy online. He was so excited about the Walz pick. So I think that that's it. They need to make sure their base turns out to vote, which to me, Charlie, sends a signal of weakness. But of course, we could be wrong on this, but I was pretty excited about the pick.
Yeah, the just a absolute total radical that is one of the most radicals in the Democrat Party who makes Bernie Sanders look like a moderate. And so, Alex, the DNC convention is coming up. What do you expect out of Biden? Here's my prediction, is that they're going to card out Biden. They're going to pump him up with drugs, and he's going to come give the handoff speech to Kamala Harris at some point, probably on the final evening. I think they're going to go Biden, Harris, and Biden will kind of say, it's just not for me. And now my vice president, what can we expect out of the DNC broadly and specifically with Joe Biden?
You can expect in a few months Biden to collect a huge bag of cash for going through that indignity. So that's number one. I'm glad you brought the DNC on the back of the Walz pick, because I think that they're afraid the DNC pro-Palestine, pro-Hamas protests were going to be so intense if a Josh Shapiro was on the ticket. And because Shapiro's position on Israel is basically the same as, you know, Joel Pollack at Breitbart. So it's the So that was not going to fly with the would-be protesters. So I'm curious to see how the various Democrat factions, how they commingle with each other. Because as Bannon always says, Charlie, we had our civil war and our side won, the America First side. So people have mostly made their peace with that, or they've left and gone the David French way. So we're kind of all on the same page. They're not on a few things. They're not in a few issues. So I'm hoping there's going to be some drama, but maybe that's just wishful thinking.
Alex Marlow, Breitbart.com. Thanks so much. Excellent work.
Thank you, Charlie, as always.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.